You know, that old song just is bubbling up inside me this morning that says, Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. You might as well get thee behind me, Satan. You will not prevail because Jesus never fails. He never fails. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He is alive. He is alive. He is alive, and he is well. Amen. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul today. I have the privilege, I have the honor of bringing forth a message about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Anytime I have that honor, I am thrilled, I am excited. I woke up at 5 a.m. this morning and already felt the anointing for this message. I felt it, honestly, for weeks. Because I get to talk about something both as a minister of the gospel and as a physician today, and that's talk about the blood. I cannot wait to talk about the blood because it is what gives life to every believer, both in the natural and in the spiritual. Our text this morning is coming from something that I texted out to the group this week, Leviticus 17 and 11. If you've got your Bible and you want to turn there, or you know the scripture by heart, or you've got your phone or your tablet or whatever method you use, Leviticus 17 and 11 says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. The life of the flesh is in the blood. This morning, I'm going to talk to you about the power in the blood. Father, in Jesus' name, I am humbled. I am honored just to be able to stand in your presence and lift up your name. Your name is a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in the earth and things even under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that you are Lord to the glory of God the Father. This morning, we confess it, we believe it, we accept it, and we call your work done in Jesus' name. I speak life this morning. I speak life this morning. I speak life this morning, knowing that the life of the flesh is in the blood. And it's in your name we pray. And the church said, amen. Amen. Now, folks, the Bible is a bloody book. You know, we may not like to think that, and some people don't want to hear about a bloody gospel, but that's the only gospel I know. From cover to cover, we see this flow of blood. The very first sacrifice is made at the very start of the book. When Adam and Eve sinned, God sacrificed animals to provide skins to cover them. Why? Because they realized that they were naked. Now understand, up to this point, they had nothing to ever feel ashamed about. But when sin entered, shame entered. And God knew that shame, and he covered them with the skins of animals to cover the shame. God was using a sacrifice even in that moment to provide a covering for man. Hold on to that, all right? I'm going to say that a couple more times as we build this morning in the Word of God. We can even go back to the Abrahamic covenant. God told Abraham, I'm going to make a covenant with you so much so that your offspring will be greater than the sands of the seashore, more than the stars in the heaven. And I'm going to seal that covenant with an act of shedding of blood, the act of circumcision. Shedding of blood has always been associated with covenants. Back in the Old Testament days, if you and I made a contract, we would seal that contract with a sacrifice. The animal would be sacrificed. The animal would be halved. One half would be placed on one side, one half on the other. The two entering the contract would hold hands and walk between the bodies of that animal. What they were literally saying is that I'm making a contract that is so near and dear to me, and I'm going to honor so much so that if I break the contract, I will be as this sacrifice. I will sacrifice myself because my word is that important. They literally were saying, if I break the contract, I will die. Hold on to that. We're going there in a few minutes. This principle is also confirmed in the New Testament. In Hebrews 9 and 22, we find, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. So why is blood so important? Why is blood the object that God Himself set before the foundations of the world were formed to be the ultimate sacrifice that would make a way for us to have relationship with Him? Well, I'm going to speak to you as a doctor this morning, okay? In our bodies, we have all sorts of tissue. We have muscle tissue. We have pulmonary lung tissue. We have cardiac muscle tissue. We have nerve fibers. We have all sorts of connective tissues that go throughout our entire body. But one thing they all have in common is they're all stationary. They're all microscopic. You can look at them under a microscope and you can see this, but they're all fixed in one location and have one purpose. Not so with the blood. The blood is a tissue that circulates throughout the entire body and actually brings both life and brings cleansing to every cell in the body. It's amazing how we can have a body that is being perfused by this blood that is constantly providing oxygen and life and also providing cleansing at the very same time. Now, in our body, we've got about 5 pints, if you want to use that term. We in medical use a lot of medical jargon. I'm not going to try to stay away from the jargon this morning. But we've got about 5 pints of blood. And the way our heart works, we're pumping that blood through our entire system about every 23 seconds. So every 23 seconds, you're getting blood flow. Now, if you do activities like you're in the gym and you're working muscles, or you're on your job and you're working muscles, that increases because the body has to increase what we call cardiac output to take on the metabolic demand that the body has. Now, the blood is composed of lots of different elements, and we're going to talk about that. But one thing that we do know, there is a mystery to the blood that the Bible says the life of the flesh is in that blood. It is also true with the blood of Jesus. Now let's look at the physical body and compare that to the spiritual. When we look at our bodies, we've got arms, we've got legs, we've got hands, we've got fingers, we've got noses, we've got ears, we've got all these parts. When we look at the body of Christ, we also have all those same parts. Paul said we are a many-membered body. Now I know everybody wants to be the head, but Jesus is the head. Amen? Jesus is the head. And all of the body of Christ, whether you're a big toe or a thumb, it doesn't matter. You're all perfused by the same blood. That blood has to flow, and that blood is the blood of Jesus. And every born-again believer who has ever called upon the name of Jesus and accepted Him as Lord and Savior, we all become brothers and sisters as we are united by the same blood, the blood of Jesus. Now, we may look different. We may act different. We may worship different. Come on. We may do lots of things differently, but we're all one in the name of Jesus and by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what color your skin is. It doesn't matter what denomination or non-denomination you are. It doesn't matter what creed you may have been brought up under. What matters is, do you know Him as Lord and Savior? And if you do, that blood is flowing through you, and you are my brother and you are my sister. Amen? We're all one in God. Now listen to me. God could care less about our man-made divisions. Listen to me. God could care less about our man-made divisions. He's not interested in our self-righteous, hair-splitting religious ideas and concepts. He could care less about what denomination. I'm going to get there in a minute. He could care less about all of your statements of faith. You know, I'll be honest with you, I can't stand that. I grew up in the Church of God. My dad was a Church of God pastor. And I'm telling you, you know, the Declaration of Faith. We believe in one God, eternal, existing, three persons, named the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We believe the Word of God is, I mean, come on, you know, Apostles' Creed kind of thing. But you even go to non-denominational churches, and they've got all these statements of their faith. You know what my statement of my faith is? I love Jesus, and He loves me. Yes. Yes. Amen. I think the next one ought to be the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Anybody sing the next song? And I think the next one ought to be Jesus Loves Me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's what we need, folks. God doesn't care about how we try to make ourselves look so formal and so pomp and circumstance. That's not the kind of God we serve. He's the kind of God who sees us in our weakest moments, and He still loves us. And that's where the blood of Jesus Christ, you know, we need to get to a point where we understand that the blood of Jesus is trying to create unity and not unanimity. Here's the difference. Unity is, I accept you just the way you are, and you accept me just the way we are, and we realize we're one in Jesus. Unanimity says you've got to look like me, you've got to act like me, you've got to praise like me, you've got to sing like me, you've got to do everything like me. Let me tell you, that's not what God wants. He wants a many-membered body where we're all different, but we come together and one. You show me somebody who's more interested in winning people to their church to grow a number than they are in seeing people come to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and I'll show you somebody who does not understand what the power of the blood of Jesus. We are all related by blood. In Acts 17 and 26, the writer says, God hath made of one blood all nations of men that dwell upon the face of the earth. Now, let's go back and look at this. When Adam ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, what he really did is he created blood poisoning. He was created holy. Come on. He was created without sin. That blood that flowed through him had been imparted with the breath that God Himself had breathed into him. It was pure blood. Listen, when he sinned, it caused blood poisoning that was so severe that 6,000 years later, every person born is born with sinful blood. It's only by the grace of God. The only cure for that blood poisoning was the shedding of blood by Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Now let's go back and look at the precedents and how this was set. Prior to Jesus, we see what's referred to as the Levitical order or the sacrificial order. If you go back, you realize that initially sacrifices were being offered on a daily basis, and it became too much. So they set a standard. God allowed them to set a standard where once a year the high priest would go into the tabernacle. He would go into the Holy of Holies, and he would make sacrifice on the Day of Atonement. Now, I discussed this months ago at Christmas message, how the tabernacle has three portions. You've got an outer court, an inner court. Within the inner court's the Holy of Holies. In the Holy of Holies is where the Ark of the Covenant was. Inside the Ark of the Covenant were the tablets, the law, okay, right? The commandments that Moses had taken down. Also was manna, showing God's provision, and Aaron's rod that budded in the wilderness, showing the miraculous power of Almighty God. So when the priest would go in, he would place the blood on the ark. Now, the way he placed the blood on the ark, you had cherubims, statues of cherubims made of gold, and their wings touched on this area called the mercy seat. And on that mercy seat is where the priest would apply the blood. Now, history tells us that the priest, before he would even go into the Holy of Holies, where the glory of God abound, they would tie a rope around his leg, because if he went in with sin, he would immediately be struck dead. I wouldn't want to be in that preacher. Amen. But they had to do that to make sure. He offered the blood of the sacrifice on the mercy seat. Again, hold on to that thought. Now, blood is the only tissue in the body that's mobile. Our life is dependent on the circulation of this blood. I believe that when we look to why God chose blood to be the one thing that brings us together and also the sacrifice that cleanses us from sin, I believe the components will tell us a little bit why. First of all, the clear portion of blood, if you would, it's called plasma. Plasma has a lot of proteins. Plasma carries a lot of nutrients and things that you need to carry the remainder of the cells in the body. But there are three primary cells in our body, in our blood. The first one is called erythrocytes, or red blood cells. The second is called leukocytes, or white blood cells. And the third are platelets. And then you also have some things that circulate through the plasma called antitoxins or antibodies. So let's talk about the erythrocytes, the red blood cells. Smallest part of the blood. So small, they look like frisbees under a microscope. But so small, about 5 million per cubic millimeter on average. 5 million. But these tiny little cells are where hemoglobin resides. And that hemoglobin is what picks up oxygen from our lungs, carries it to the cell, and literally brings life
to our cells. At the same time, these tiny little cells pick up waste products, carbon dioxide and other things, brings it back to our lungs and to our kidneys, and allows us to process the waste products from the cell. We call that metabolism. Energy going in, waste products coming out, and it's all done by these tiny little red blood cells. Now, if somebody is anemic, meaning they have a low red blood cell count, sometimes they're short of breath. Oh boy, you gotta listen to this. Sometimes they're short of breath. Sometimes they have no energy. Sometimes they just don't think they can make it because the blood count's so low. Folks, Christ is our supply. Just as essential as those red blood cells are to our natural body, the red blood cells of the blood of Christ are to our spiritual body. If we want to have life, if we want to have vitality, if we want to have energy, it all comes based upon what the blood of Jesus Christ does for us. He is our source of life. You know, here's a real marvel of divine chemistry. In Revelations, here's what we see. We see saints that have white robes because they've been washed in red blood. Now, what happens if you try to wash your white stuff in red? You know, this is bad to say, but, you know, I'm an ER doc, okay? For 30-some years, I've been in emergency rooms doing all sorts of resuscitations and all sorts of things. I have come on many times with lots of blood on lots of everything, okay? It doesn't come out, okay? You can use Dawn, you can use anything you want to, but you're going to tear up the fabric before it does. But divine chemistry says you can take the blood of Jesus, you can wash something, and it turns out as white as snow. Though our sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as wool. That's the power of the blood of Jesus. Now, let's go on to the second part, leukocytes, white blood cells. White blood cells are much, 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 much larger, whereas red blood cells are about 5 million per cubic millimeter. White blood cells are somewhere around the neighborhood of 5 to 8,000, so much larger. And they have a completely different role. When you think about what white blood cells are, even though they're low and normal, if you get some sort of infection, the body has the ability to turn on your bone marrow where blood cells are manufactured and crank out these white blood cells almost instantly. It's amazing. You can go from a count of 5,000 at normal, you get an infection, and within 24 hours, the white count can be 20, 25, 30,000 because God understood that infection would come and there had to be some remedy for infection. Well, guess what? Same way in the body of Christ, folks. When we have an attack of the enemy, attack against us, God knows and his white blood cells can crank up and the blood of Jesus can come to our assistance and to our aid. And we know that we have power in the blood to overcome anything and everything that God wants us to do. Now, let's think about the natural for a minute. In the natural, let's say you stick your finger on a thorn bush or something, and you get that little area that gets red, gets swollen, gets tender. And then over a few days, you know, after lots of praying, after lots of soaking, some of us men, lots of crying, that little area ruptures. When it ruptures, what do we call the white stuff that comes out? We call it pus, okay? It's a pulpit, but that's okay. Pus is normal. All right? It's pus. What pus really is a whole army of white blood cells that have come to your rescue, and they have given their life to save you from the infection. Woo! So is the blood of Jesus. He gave his life and shed his red cells and his white cells so that those white blood cells could circulate through his body. And when infection comes on, it could rupture just like that, and we could have salvation from that. No wonder David said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. He understood divine chemistry. How do we overcome by the blood? Well, here's what Revelations 12, 10, and 11 says. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb. Now, Satan is the accuser of the brethren. What does that mean? There's twofold. First of all, it means he accuses us to God. So he goes to God and says, can you believe that Cammy Stone? Oh, my God. Can you believe what she said? Can you believe what she did? Can you believe? And God looks at him and says, what I see in the book here is the blood. What I see here in the book is the blood. I find no fault because the blood is what has overcome that problem and that area of failure that we may have had. Now, sometimes he comes to us directly. Maybe he doesn't to you. And, you know, maybe it's not Satan himself, one of his, you know, demons, imps, whatever you want to call them. But they come to me and say, you think you're a child of God? Anybody ever had that happen? You think you're good enough for God to love you? Do you think God is really going to understand why you said what you said or you did what you did? Come on. Anybody ever have any moments like that? Guess what? This is where we should have one answer. And that one answer is, I absolutely am not worthy. But thanks be unto God, I know one who said he doesn't care if I'm worthy or not. He is worthy. And he is worthy of knowing that his blood washes and his blood cleanses and his blood makes us whole. They overcame the infection by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. That's why he also said in 1 John 1 and 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He also said in 1 John 1 and 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimonies. Erythrocytes, leukocytes, let's talk about platelets for a minute. Platelets are your clotting factors. That's what they do. Platelets are why you put pressure on a wound if you're bleeding. You hold pressure. Platelets do what we refer to as aggregate. They come to that site and they plug up the hole. I'm reminded in the Word of God in Isaiah 59 where the Scripture says, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of God raises up a standard against him. When the enemy tries to cut you, the platelets of the blood of Jesus rush to your rescue and they stop the bleeding, folks. That's what we're talking about today. The blood of Jesus Christ is our salvation and always will be. Now, I'm going to talk about something that's very near and dear to me, and that is what happens in the body of Christ. I'm talking about us. Christ is the head, we're the body. Something goes on that drives me absolutely crazy when a minister of the gospel falls or a ministry falls or there's something, you know, where that gets in the press about, you know, some minister that did something they shouldn't have done it. And I'm not covering up for their failures. I'm not saying anything about that we should, you know, not understand that bad things can happen sometimes and good people can do bad things. How many of you believe that? Amen? Pointing my finger at myself as well. But what kills me is in the body of Christ, if we hear somebody falls or fails, instead of rescuing our wounded and running to their rescue, it seems like we shoot our wounded so many times. It bothers me when I hear Christians almost rejoicing in the failure of another believer. But I'm here to tell you that God said, when you fall, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation. He is the substitute for your sin. It's time for us to understand that as Christians, we need to come together, we need to stand in the gap and make up the hedge, and we need to stop the bleeding. Amen? Now, last thing I'm going to talk about as far as the cells goes, what are referred to as antibodies. Antibodies basically, in the body, create immunity. Okay, when you get vaccinations, the reason you get vaccinations, no, I'm not going to COVID, not going to talk about it, don't want to talk about it, don't want to relive it, not giving anybody advice. But when you talk about the normal things, what we see happening in Texas right now, over 600 cases of measles, okay? Measles is something we thought we'd pretty much stamped out, but over 600 cases of measles just in the past 6 weeks in the state of Texas. We got our MMR, our measles, mumps, and rubella vaccines when we were kids, most of us. Some of us had to get it boosted. Some of us who were in the Air Force got boosted to everything you ever heard possible that could ever be. But when we do that, the reason that we get these is so the body can manufacture antibodies. What an antibody basically is something that causes our body, and I use the term magically because it almost is the way it works, magically to recognize an attack. Okay? When we're exposed to something that we have either had before that our bodies create antibodies against, or something we've been vaccinated against, immediately you have cells that produce these antibodies, and these antibodies literally bind up the pathogen, bind up the disease-causing agent. So that's why we don't get the things that we're exposed to. As a physician who's worked in emergency medicine for years and years, if I did not have antibodies, trust me, I would have been sick all the time. But you build up antibodies. Cammie can tell you, she went to work in the emergency department in the first 6 weeks. She got everything from everybody possible. That's what happens. And after a while, I mean, what I'm saying is we get immune to things. Well, thanks be unto God. That's a lesson that we can understand from the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. Imagine if everything that used to trick you up and everything you used to yield to by temptation was still there. But it doesn't work that way, because the blood of Jesus builds up antibodies in you. So those things that used to get you don't get you anymore. The scripture says that the devil walks about roaring. He roams as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Now here's the lesson and the message for this for you today. Roaring lions are not eating. Roaring lions are not eating. When they're hunting, they're stealth. They're quiet. They don't want anybody to detect them when they're ready to pounce and eat. But they want to scare you to death. They want to scare off anybody. That's when they roar. I'm here to tell you, when the devil comes roaring, what you need to understand is, devil, you have no hold on me. I have the antibodies of the blood of Jesus in me, and I am not going to listen. I'm not going to yield. I'm not going to turn any way whatsoever. We need to confess that we are saved, and we are being saved every day by the blood of Jesus. Now, you know, I'm going to do a little bit of a doctrinal talking here. You know, people talk about sanctification, and there are some movements, some organizations that they believe you get sanctified. You know, I've heard people testify, I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost and fire, packed up, prayed up, ready to go. Well, I'm telling you, if you're so sanctified, then why do you keep acting like a donkey? Amen? The reality is we are constantly being sanctified by the blood. Woo! We are constantly being sanctified. As that blood circulates through us, that resistance to sin builds more and more and more. And then we understand every single day of our life that we are totally dependent on Him and His grace and His blood. And when we get to that point, then we can live in victory and know that the roaring lion is just making a lot of noise, but is not going to do anything that's going to harm me. Now, the blood was God's only purchase price for redemption. When man sinned, his blood became contaminated. And God literally said, I've got to find a way now to redeem man. I've got to find a way to cleanse the blood. How am I going to do that? In the natural, we call it blood transfusion. If somebody has low hemoglobin, if somebody gets a wound and they're bleeding out, we give them transfusions. I'm a regular donor. I believe in it. If you're not a donor, you ought to be. I donate regularly because I believe in it as a life supply in the natural. When we as believers donate that portion of our bodies, and that's what we're doing, it's tissue, when we do that, we're doing it as a service to mankind, okay, to our fellow citizens. You can take that blood that I give. They're going to test it. They're going to process it. Sometimes they have to add preservatives with it, depending on how long they're going to use it or not. And when they use it, they can put that in a blood bank. And when they put it in a blood bank, what they're really doing is storing that for future use. Well, there's one big limitation to that. They all have an expiration date, okay? Cammie can tell you as an ER nurse, when you get that blood from the blood bank, the first thing you have to do is you have to look at it. You have to see what day it was processed, and you have to see the expiration date, and you have to document it and get multiple signatures, including a physician signature, sometimes a witness from another healthcare person, and the patient receiving the blood if they're able to do it. Lots of things have to go in. Well, what blood transfusions have done for medicine doesn't even compare to what the blood transfusions of Jesus has done to the body of Christ. It doesn't even compare. And one thing about it, folks, there is no expiration date. Woo! I said there is no expiration date. That blood of Jesus, and I don't understand how it's possible, but then again, I don't understand how it's possible that a sinner like me can have salvation and righteousness by the grace of God. But somehow or another, the blood bank of Jesus, those drops of blood that he shed on Good Friday, somehow those drops of blood have all been stored up. And every time somebody comes to Jesus and said, I need you as my Savior, a fresh blood transfusion comes from that same blood bank. It's the blood that has never, ever lost its power. Here's what 1 Peter 1:18 says. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You know, how many of you remember Andre Crouch? Anybody? Some of you young folks, if you never heard his music, you need to listen. But he used to sing, the blood that Jesus shed for me. Way back on Calvary, it's that blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. It soothes my doubts and it calms all my fears. And it dries all my tears. It's the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. The blood of Jesus cannot perish. It cannot fade. It cannot lose anything. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his blood, according to Revelations 1 and 5, we are made whole and made free by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to go against the grain here. There are a lot of old hymns that we sing, and there's been a lot of things in contemporary music, and they talk about how, you know, Jesus spilt his blood, and they use the term spilt, S-P-I-L-T, to rhyme with other things. Jesus did not spill his blood. Listen to me. Jesus did not spill his blood. It wasn't an accident. I spill my water. I spill my cup of coffee. Jesus did not spill his blood. He shed his blood. He gave his blood. He said, nobody takes my life. I lay down my life. And that's why he can make the statement that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now let's get to Easter. Folks, go back to the high priest I talked about earlier. They made the sacrifice on the mercy seat. When they made the sacrifice on the mercy seat, God looked down and he did not see the law. He didn't see the transgression of the law. He saw the blood. Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Jesus was lifted up from the earth. He was suspended between heaven and earth. Between God and man. But there's something else, and this is a new revelation I literally just got this morning. He was also suspended between repentance. The one thief on the cross said, remember me today, Lord. I know you're the Savior. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. The other said, why don't you get us down from here and get yourself down from here if you're really God? He was suspended between repentance and unrepentance. I got that this morning. I promise you, I told Cam, I said, I can't believe what just came to me. He's suspended between God and man, holiness and unrighteousness. He's suspended between repentance and unrepentance. And when God looks down, oh, when the Father looks down and he sees the Son, he says, I don't see the sins of man. I see the blood on the cross. I see the blood on the mercy seat. Folks, the cross was the mercy seat. The cross was the mercy seat. And when Jesus cried out, it is finished, that veil within the temple was torn in half. God was no longer separated from man, but God now could be with man, because when he looked at those who received him, he saw the blood of his Son flowing through our veins. Amen. We are saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, all we needed for salvation was Jesus to shed that blood. When he died on the cross, he declared, I am Savior. That's all he needed. Listen to me. He did not need the resurrection to be Savior. His blood made him Savior. But on the third day when he rose, he said, I'm not just Savior, I'm also Lord. I am not just Savior. I am also Lord. This morning, He is Savior and He is Lord. In Luke 24, the Scripture tells us, and I love this story. Mary, and we know Joanna, and we know Mary, the mother of James, and some other women is the way the Scripture describes it. They went to the tomb. They were going there to do what you would do to a body. They were going there to to attend, if you would, to the body of a dead Jesus. When they walked into that tomb, there was no dead Jesus there. They went and told Peter. Peter ran back, and Peter described it as, I see some empty linen. That's all I see. There's no body there. But the Word of God says that two of the angels of the Lord appeared unto the women and said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? Now, I've got a powerful message, and for those of you watching on video, I want you to hear this as well. There are too many believers, too many who say they know Jesus, who are looking for the living among the dead. Dead tradition, dead ideology, dead idolatry will not bring you life. Now, I'm going to preach to you this morning. I said, seeking the living among the dead, among dead tradition, among dead ideology and dead idolatry, that will not bring you life, because He is not dead. He is risen. His blood still flows fresh today, just as it did then. Ingrid, Kevin, Cammie, and I, we went in that tomb. There was nobody in that tomb. That tomb is empty. Why? Because He is alive. He is where. Here's what Jesus says about it. He says, I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell, and I have the keys of death. If Satan and his crowd, who were so anxious to kill Him, had any idea what was going to happen, then just like we heard a few minutes ago, the princes of this world did not know what they were doing. Because if they did, they would never have crucified the Lord of glory. Thanks be unto God, they didn't know, and they did. Because by... oh, yes, because they did, now we can. Amen? Stand to your feet this morning. My Lord. Whew. Here's what that same Paul who talked about the princes didn't know said. Lena brought this up last week. In Romans 8 and 35, Paul said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now, I'm going to go one step further. I think we can substitute. Who can separate us from the blood of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? No! In all these things, we are more than conqueror. Look to your neighbor and say, I am more than a conqueror. Look to somebody else and tell them the same thing. I am more than a conqueror. And then he goes on to say, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, who gave Himself for us because He loved us. You are more than a conqueror. And I am persuaded this morning that the blood of Jesus still is the answer for anything and everything you might have need of this morning. When the veil was torn, the separation resolved. Here's what I'm telling you on Easter morning this morning. This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, because we don't serve a dead Savior. We serve a Savior who shed His blood and resurrected to proclaim He is Lord. He is Lord of everything you're going through right now. If you would just bow your heads just a moment. I've got to do this on Easter Sunday. If you're not sure of your salvation today, if you're not sure that if you were to die right now, you would go to be with Jesus, if you don't know that you've got that fresh flow of Jesus' blood through your veins, let me see your hand right now. I'm not going to call you up or anything. I just want to see your hand. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. Amen. Now, here's what I want us to pray together as a body. If you would just pray, and I normally don't repeat things, but I feel this morning like I'm led to do this, because I even think there's some believers here who need to recommit this morning. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you as a servant and as your child. Forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my doubt. Forgive me of my failures. And I understand that I am totally dependent upon you, and I'm dependent upon your blood. Give me a fresh transfusion this morning. Say that part one more time. Give me a fresh transfusion this morning. I accept you. I proclaim your lordship. And I celebrate Easter. All right. Now, Father, in Jesus' name, I ask everybody in this place this morning would go as they leave this place with a new, fresh touch, a fresh anointing, a fresh... My Lord. Holy, 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 Lord. Holy, 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 Lord. I was reading in Revelation 21. I'm just going to, for one moment. And in Revelation 21, it talks about the city of heaven. It talks about the streets of gold. It talks about the gate of pearl. It talks about the walls of jasper and all the dimensions, all these things. But the one thing it says is you've got these beasts, as the word describes it, who are constantly around the throne. And they're constantly singing the same song. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, which is, and is to come. Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was, and is to come. Folks, we don't understand everything. But the one thing we know beyond anything else is the one who sits on the throne is holy, holy, holy. He is Lord God Almighty, and he is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He's the same God who has healed, and he will heal. He's the same God who has saved, and he will save. He's the same God who has raised the dead, and he will raise the dead. He's the same God that his blood circulates through everybody in this building who knows him as Lord and Savior, and not just here, but all around the world. There are folks in Africa, there are folks in India right now that are experiencing that same circulation that we have right here this morning. It's all because of the power of the blood. As somebody who has studied medicine and been in medicine now for almost 35 years, it's hard to believe. But I'm telling you right now, I know the power of the blood. And as somebody who's known Jesus for about 43 years, I know the power of the blood. There is nothing that compares to what Jesus does. Oh, he feels your broken heart this morning. I really feel like the Holy Spirit is saying right now, I see your pain. Don't think I don't. I feel it just like you do. As that blood flows through and it touches your nervous system, trust me, it's touching the Holy Spirit's nervous system this morning. He knows what we are going through. He knows the pain. He knows the grief. But even more than that, he knows that the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. Folks, we get peace through various chemical mechanisms. One of which are endorphins. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit right now, I think, is pumping out some endorphins this morning. Some of you look at me like I'm crazy. I don't care. I know in whom I have believed. And I believe in the blood. I believe in the blood. Oh, my Lord. Take hold of the hand of the person next to you. I just feel like we need to come in agreement right now. The Word of God says if we come in agreement, if two of us agree as touching anything on earth, it shall be done of our Father in heaven. Lord, we come in agreement for miracles. We come in agreement for deliverance. Any of you feeling that little breeze right now? Oh, I feel it so strongly right now. And this isn't a tornado. This is a zephyr. It's just a gentle breeze of the Holy Spirit. Lord, as we stand in agreement this morning, we know nothing is impossible with you. We know nothing is impossible with you. We see things that sound like defeat and that feel like defeat, but God, nothing is ever defeat for you, because you know all power is given you in heaven and on earth, and you can do exceeding abundantly above anything we can even ask or imagine. That's the God that you are. Lord, right now as we're in agreement, let your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I celebrate your victory today. I celebrate this Easter resurrection morning. I proclaim you are alive. You are alive. You're the same God now that you were then. Jesus, you're the same Lord who said, greater things than these shall you do, because I go to the Father. And if I go to the Father, I will pray and he will send you another comforter. And in my name, you'll cast out devils. In my name, you'll speak with new tongues. In my name, you can take up serpents. And if you drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt you. In my name, you'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. I'm going to add one more to that. In my name, you'll raise the dead. Greater things than these. Greater things than these. Greater things than these shall you do. Greater things than these shall you do. Here's what I want us to do as we finish. This is what I feel like. I feel like we need to release. We need to release. We need to release the blood. We need to release the anointing. We need to release the power. How many of you believe you can release it? How many of you believe you can? Amen. If you don't know what we're talking about, what we're talking about, what God gives you, what God has placed in you, there is a way you can release it. You release it by faith. You release it by trust. But when you release it, you have got to believe that it is done. It is done. It is done. Father, in the name of Jesus, as a congregation who loves you, we release your anointing. We release the blood. We release the power. We release the authority. In the name of Jesus, we release it right now, and we call your work done. Greater is he who is in us than he is in the world. There is nothing that limits us when we know that we are limitless by the power and the grace of Jesus Christ. Father, we touch you and ask that you would touch and minister and do your work this morning, Father. In the name of Jesus, we call it done. Amen and amen. God bless you.